Brothers and sisters, friends, all you guests among us, we're gathered here to worship the Lord our God. We've been doing that according to a liturgy, an order of service. And especially if you're a guest here, it's helpful for you to know why we do that. We gather together not simply because we want to be here, but because we are called by the Lord God Almighty to come into his presence with the Church of Christ and to worship him. And so our liturgy today is an ongoing conversation with the triune God as he speaks to us, and then we respond to him in faith, singing his word back to him. And then after we've been called to worship and we've praised him, and we hear his requirements upon our lives, and then we confess our sins before him as individuals, together as the Church of Christ, so that we might now enter in this part of the worship service where we hear of the Lord's word to us from the pages of Scripture, but we do so as the Church of God who has confessed her sins and who is forgiven. And so we gather now to hear from the Lord as people who are loved in Jesus Christ. For all of us who have confessed our sin and placed our trust for our life and our death in the Lord Jesus Christ, it means this. It means that at this moment, our Father who is in heaven looks down on you, on us, and instead of seeing your sin and your weakness and your faults, he sees you in the righteousness of Christ, as if you yourself had completed all the works of Jesus. And so that you're gathered here now to hear the word of God, as God looks down and has nothing but eternal and unadulterated love. Let's pray, asking the Lord to help us to know that deeply in our hearts and minds as we are about to hear from his word. We do that with the prayer of Paul in Ephesians. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Lord, Father in heaven, we bow the knees of our hearts and our minds before you, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named. And we pray that according to the riches of your glory, you might grant that we would be strengthened with power through your Holy Spirit in our inner beings, that Christ would dwell in our hearts through faith, so that we together now might be rooted and grounded in love, and that we might in this moment have strength to comprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of the love of Jesus Christ that surpasses all knowledge, and that we might be filled with the fullness of God. And now to you, who are able to do so much more, far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to your power that is at work within us, to you be the glory in the church, in this service and sermon, and in Jesus Christ through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, the title of today's sermon is YOLO, You Only Live Once, How to Live When You Are Older. How to Live When You Are Older. We're going to look at a passage in Joshua chapter 14, but allow me to, by way of introduction, to say a few words before we dive into what God has to say to us. The sermon today has a focus on those who are older. I'm thinking in particular those of us who are around retirement age or older. But it's helpful to know that the whole concept of retirement is purely a modern idea. Throughout human history, throughout traditional societies today, there is no concept of retirement. There's no idea of retirement. The older you get, you just continue to work, but you adjust and adapt your work according to your physical abilities. So, I lived in West Africa for a number of years, and if you visit villages in West Africa, you will find very old men sitting together, working, doing what they're able, making rope, for instance. And you'll find very old women sitting, working together, de-shelling peanuts, keeping care of the youngest of the children. People in traditional societies and throughout history have had no concept of retirement. There's a little bit of a concept of retirement in the Old Testament. Numbers 8, you hear that when priests become 50 years old, they must then stop the hard physical work of sacrificing animals in the temple or the tabernacle, and then they become assistants to do a little bit less demanding work and greeters at the temple door. Not quite retirement, but they adjust their work according to age. There has been no concept of retirement until the 1800s. In the 1800s in the Western world, that began to change. And that was because we experienced the Industrial Revolution, where people began to work in factories. And what factory owners found was that older workers worked slower than younger workers, which means that older workers didn't give them as much profit as younger workers, so they had to think about an idea to get rid of the older workers. So you can read a speech, for instance, a famous speech in the world of work and labor. In 1905, a Canadian physician named William Osler gave a speech at the John Hopkins Hospital, and he said this: "The ages between 25 and 40 are the 15 golden years of plenty. Workers between the age of 40 and 60 were tolerable because they were merely uncreative. But after the age of 60, the average worker is useless and should be put out to pasture." This is where our idea of retirement comes from. It's an industrial idea that tries to get older people out of the factory because they're not productive and profitable like the young. And early on, when this started to become a thing, older people resisted it, saying that they needed to continue to work, and they wanted to continue to work, and they wanted to do something meaningful and contribute to their families and their lives. And of course, a lot of older people in those days still needed an income. So the solution that they came up with was a retirement pension. The retirement pension solved two problems. It gave incentive for older people to leave the workforce so that younger, more profitable workers could take their place, and it helped solve poverty that was quite rampant amongst the elderly. The problem that remained, of course, was boredom. What are you going to do if you're retired? And that was solved by the timely invention of the television and the expansion of golf courses. Today, we've largely forgotten this history. While in the past, retirement was opposed by seniors, today it's embraced. It's something that's looked forward to. It's something that you aim your whole life for and you work towards, and it's something that you dream about. What was an invention by companies to make themselves as profitable as they can has become taken for granted and has become sort of a natural stage of life, retirement. Now, let me be clear. I am not opposed to retirement as such or retirement pensions. My church pays into a pension fund, and I'm happy about that. What I do want us to recognize is that these historical realities exist when we speak about older age, when we speak about retirement, and we need to understand them also as we now open our hearts and our minds to hear what God has to say to us in His holy word. Now, you might be a younger person here this morning, and you're thinking, am I really going to listen to a whole sermon that's talking to people who are retired? Like, really? And I hope that you will find that this sermon is not just for people who have the senior citizens discount at McDonald's, but it is also for you who are younger. There's some beautiful lyrics from an old group of singers, or two old singers, Simon and Garfunkel, and they have a song called Old Friends. And the lyrics go like this. I'm not going to sing this one. Old friends, old friends, sat on their park bench like bookends. Old friends, winter companions, the old men. Can you imagine us, years from today, sharing a park bench quietly? How terribly strange to be 70. Paul Simon, the author of that song, he wrote that song when he was 27 years old. And when you're 27 years old, you say things like, how strange to be 70. This year, Paul Simon will celebrate his 81st birthday. The point is that one day, you who are young, by God's grace, will be sitting on a park bench with old friends like bookends. You too will be old. And it is important for the youth, those of us who consider ourselves young, to have a clear idea about older age before it arrives. That's important for you. So this sermon, although aimed at those of us who are older, is aimed at all of us who are younger and who, by God's grace, may one day be older. Let's open our Bibles to Joshua chapter 14. I would like to look at you with you at the person of Caleb. I'm doing so with the blessing of the Apostle Paul, who in 1 Corinthians 12, 10 verse 12 says that the things that happened in the past and were written down for our instruction. And so the details of Caleb's life are not there by accident. They were written down for our instruction. And we would like to examine Caleb, especially as we read about him in Joshua chapter 14. I'm going to read the verses 6 through 14. Let's pay careful attention as the Lord speaks to us. Then the people of Judah, so now that the people have wandered in the desert for 40 years and now they have entered the promised land, then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know, speaking to Caleb, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God. Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and for your children forever, because you wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said. These 45 years, since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, behold, I am this day 85 years old. I am still as strong today as I was in the day when Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for coming and for going. So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I will drive them out, just as the Lord said. Then Joshua blessed them. Gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. This is God's holy word. Amen. The gospel of Jesus Christ from Joshua chapter 14, how to live when you are old. How to live when you are old. And I want to talk to you about three things. I would like to organize my sermon under 3 points. How to live when you're old. Take your mountain, use the strength you have, and trust God to work through you. How to live when you're old. Take your mountain, use what strength you have, and trust God to work through you. Caleb. Caleb is an old man in our text. In my mind, I try to imagine. Perhaps he's kind of thin. His wind and sun leathered skin. Perhaps he's got a white beard sort of flowing in the wind. He's 85 years old, which is old today and which was very old back then. If you could, you could dig out the old VHS tapes from Caleb's life, and you could hit rewind on his life, and you could go back 45 years to look up 45 years previous in Caleb's life, and you'd see back then a much younger Caleb, the Caleb that we read of in Numbers 14. At 40, he was one of the spies that sent out to spy out the promised land. And oh, Caleb at 40 as a spy, he saw some scary things. He saw big fortified cities, and he saw the Anakim, the descendants of the Nephilim, people of great height. The average age, historians tell us, back then was probably about 5 feet tall. And then you can imagine that the Anakim were like the tallest of the NBA players, over 7 feet tall. They were giants in comparison. And so all of the spies who've entered the land, they're like, ugh! They're terrified. Fortified cities, giants walking around. It says we seem like grasshoppers to them. There's no way we're going in there. We're all going to die. That's what the report of the spies is. We're going to die. We can't go there. They all say that. But not Caleb. Not Caleb. Numbers 14 quotes Caleb saying, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for if we are able to overcome it, if the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into the land and he will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord and do not fear the people of the land. The Lord is with us. We don't fear them." And so if you go back in Caleb's life, you go back all those 45 years and you see that Caleb is somebody that just oozes trust and confidence in the Lord. He oozes it out of all of his pores. So God praises Caleb for this in Numbers 14, verse 24, saying, "My servant Caleb has a different spirit and has followed me fully, and I will bring him into the land into which he went." But now Caleb here in Joshua 14 is an old man. He's 85. And the land is now being divided up amongst the people, amongst the tribes. And it seems that Caleb has not been given his portion of the promised land. He hasn't been given it. You can almost imagine people thinking, well, he's so old. He's not going to be interested in that. He's so old. He's over the hill. He's retired. Plus, he's not that productive anymore. He's 85. Maybe we should just put him out to pasture, you know what I'm saying? Let's give it up to the young people. Let the young people take it all over. And then what does Caleb say? This is one of my favorite pieces of scripture. In my mind, Caleb is like, "Stop right there! Stop right there! 45 years ago, I followed the Lord, and I trusted his promises. And I wasn't afraid of giants then, and I'm not afraid of giants now. With God on my side, I'm nobody's grasshopper. The Lord has kept me alive all these years, and the Lord promised me the land that I spied out. And I might be 85, but I'm telling all you young people, I haven't changed." And in verse 12 it says, "So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke." I like how it says it in the King James Version, where Caleb says, "Now therefore give me this mountain." I love this scene. Caleb, 85, and he's given some of the young whippersnappers the evil eye, and maybe he's poking him in the chest with his staff, and he's a tough old man. And he's not going to take any nonsense from anybody. And he's going to say, "Just because I'm old, don't think that I'm not going to claim the Lord's promises to me. I'm here to serve the Lord. Get out of the way, all you young fellows. Give me my mountain." What a great and a godly example for all of us. Yeah, maybe there were some little kids who got scared when Caleb said it to them. What a great and a godly example we have in Caleb. Follow the Lord with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength when you're young, and don't stop when you get older. Keep on doing it, and your old people, don't allow anybody to sidetrack you. Tell them to get out of the way. Because there's a lot of people who are going to tell you as you get older, look, it's time for you to take a break. You've been working hard. It's time to relax. It's time to retire. It's time to follow your dreams. Like, kick back, enjoy the good life, hang up your gloves. And you're going to have to fight against that. You're going to have to fight against, because Caleb doesn't say, well, you know, if I was 45 years younger, you know, maybe I'd do that. But, you know, I'm kind of old and retired now, so maybe no more of this promised land stuff for me. Caleb is saying, look, if you think I'm going to stop following God, if you think I'm going to stop serving God, if you think I'm going to stop doing my part just because I'm old, well, you don't understand anything. Pull out the 45-year-old VHS tapes and compare them to me now, and you'll see that my age might have changed, but my attitude is the same. My attitude is the same. Caleb was, and we all want to be, among those who are described in Hebrews 11:13 as those who are still living by faith when they died. And our industrial consumeristic culture is teaching us all to approach our senior years crying out, give me my retirement, and give me my pension, and give me my travel, and give me my lazy boy, give me my sense of ease, give me my time off, give me my hobbies, give me my hard-earned rest. And Caleb teaches us to say, no, give me my mountain. Give me my mountain. Give me my role to play in the kingdom of God, and give me my mission and my part in the church of Christ. So brothers and sisters, you can retire at 65 if you want. And you can collect your pension, and you can have your hobbies. But you may not retire from the service of the Lord. Resist the temptation to do so. Resist the cultural pressure that wants to put you out to pasture as if you have nothing to offer. You might stop your day job. You might get your senior discount. But in a culture that wants to put you out to pasture, follow Caleb and realize that God still calls you to take your mountain. How to live when you're older. Take your mountain. And the second point is this. Use what strength you have. Joshua 14. Verse 10. Now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since the time the Lord has spoke this word to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, behold, I am this day 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for coming and for going. Well, I saw a video once of an 80-year-old CrossFit trainer. 80-year-old CrossFit trainer on YouTube. And he was one of these guys that, you know, sort of at 80 years old has managed to stay super buff and ripped and can, you know, crush all the young guys in arm wrestling. So maybe Caleb was like that. Seems to be what he's saying. You know, so Caleb, the old man, sun and wind leathered skin, his white beard, waving in the wind, but Caleb also with bulging biceps and chiseled calves and a resting heartbeat of 35 beats a minute. Perhaps that's what he was like. Or maybe he was exaggerating a little bit. Whatever it is obvious that Caleb is ready to use the strength that he does have for God's work. And there's a temptation that we face as we get older where we say, yeah, I'm older now. That's true. And I want to be realistic about that because I don't have the strength that I used to have in church, kingdom work. I don't have the same strength I used to have to serve others. And then we go turn around and we use all the strength that we do have to do stuff that's in our bucket list. To serve ourselves. And the lesson that we are learning from Caleb here in God's holy word is that whatever strength you might have, even though it might not be the strength that you had in your youth, you use that then to serve the Lord. Most of us are not going to end up sort of an 80-year-old Caleb-esque CrossFit trainer. But the truth is that today people who are 65 years old are generally in much better health and condition than people who were 65 years old even 50 years ago. The question is, how will you use the strength that you do have in older age? Maybe you won't be able to do everything you could do when you were 40. That's fine. But what will you do with the strength that you do have? What are you doing, you older people, with the strength that you do have? Old Caleb teaches us that the God-given energy and health that you do have ought to be used to go take whatever mountain the Lord himself has placed in front of you. And maybe that means working at a job or helping at a school or tutoring some students in your church or in your community, or maybe it means serving at a camp. Maybe it's doing what you can on a particular church team or still serving as an usher or a musician or as an elder, as a deacon. Maybe you have enough strength in your older age to serve overseas. Maybe it's the regular and ongoing intentional encouraging ministry of hospitality that you are able to do. Maybe it's serving on boards. Maybe it's running Bible studies. Maybe it's evangelism. We have a very old gentleman in our church named Mr. Holt. 90 years old, and he pretty much stays in his chair. He has caregivers that come through the door constantly every day. And he shares the good news of Jesus Christ with every single one of them. In fact, he doesn't always remember which ones have been there before. So some of them get to hear it again and again and again. Maybe that's how you'll use your strength in your older years. Maybe it's cleaning up around your neighborhood and visiting the sick. Maybe it's teaching new believers. Titus 2 instructs older men to teach younger men and older women to teach younger women. If you have strength, there is a plan for retirement. Maybe it's writing cards. When we lived in West Africa, we had an elderly lady in our home church who consistently wrote us cards. We would get them months after she sent them, and she would cut out little pictures of animals for our kids. And she had it on her heart that one thing that she could do was encourage missionaries. So if people ask you, what are you going to do for your retirement? You say? Because you can say all kinds of things, right? You can be like, well, I'm gonna fish more, and I want to really improve my golf swing, and I like to collect shells on the beach, and shells are beautiful, and fishing is fun, and when you hit the sweet spot with your golf club, that makes you feel good. It's a wonderful thing. But wouldn't it be better to be able to say, in my retirement, well, by God's grace, my hope is that I might be able to mentor some young people into robust and full Christian spirituality. I might be able to mentor some young men or some young women and teach them the lessons that God has taught me over my longer life. I might be able to use my strength to take the mountain that the Lord has put in front of me. And then even when you're very old, when your strength is sapped, can't really do much physically anymore. When your speech becomes difficult, then you can still pray. You can pray for hours. You can make up for all your prayerlessness in your youth. You can still serve others and take the mountain that God places in front of you, using the strength that He has given you, even if it's only the ability to pray silently. Let me give you an example of somebody who used all their strength to serve the Lord in their older age. You know him, some of you know him well. Christian Ajamian, a former pastor of an RP church. He moved to Montreal to serve at the Ferrel Seminary and was the dean there while I was a student. Christian Ajamian, who had become a believer under the witness of Rich Gans, when he arrived in Montreal, was later diagnosed with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. Lou Gehrig's disease is a disease that slowly takes over your system so that you slowly stop being able to move, and then you slowly can't speak or eat, and eventually you just can't breathe. And something that I learned about Lou Gehrig's disease is that when it comes to your speech, the more that you use your speech, the quicker it'll disappear. So Christiana Jamin, unable to teach anymore, staying at home with his wife, Laura, asked his wife, Laura, to give me a call, me and another student, and said he would still like to teach us one last class. And he ordered off the internet a headset with a microphone and then a wire on a microphone that sat on his living room table. And he invited us to sit on his couch, and with his barely audible voice amplified by the microphone, he used the strength that God gave him to teach me a class on how to minister to the dying. He was still alive when I became a pastor, and at my ordination, or wheeled him up in his wheelchair as I knelt down and lifted his then almost skeletal hand and placed it on my head to give me his blessing. He then asked, when I came to visit him, I asked him, "Is there anything I can do for you?" And he could barely speak then, and he asked me if I could read to him, and he wanted me to read Calvin's Institutes to him. I thought that was a strange choice until I realized that he was getting me to read something that he thought would be good for me more than him. He still was using, even then, his strength, the strength that God gave him, to take his mountain. Eventually, he went to the hospital and then hung on long enough to witness his daughter's wedding, which I got to officiate in his hospital room. His daughter and son-in-law were married. He was able to witness it. And I got in my car and went home, and 20 minutes later rolled up in my driveway. And as I got out of my car, my wife stepped out and said, "Christiane just passed away." So I drove back to the hospital, and on the same day, he was able to pray with his family. Used the strength that he had to do what God had placed in front. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 12 verse 22 says, "Those parts of the body of Christ that seem weaker are actually indispensable. And when you are older, you may get weaker, but you are indispensable in the body of Christ. So follow Caleb's example. Follow Christian's example. Learn to use the strength that you have for the good of Christ's church." How do you live when you're older? You take your mountain. You use the strength that God has given you. And then finally, you trust God to work through you. You trust God to work through you. Joshua 14, verse 12. These words of Caleb. "So now give me this hill country. Give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out just as the Lord said." It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I'll drive them out as the Lord said. These are words of faith. These are words of Caleb trusting God to work through them. When he was 40 years old, and he was feeling healthy and strong, he wasn't relying on his own strength and ability back then, even though he had physical strength. He was relying and trusting on the Lord to work through them. And now at 85 years old, Caleb hasn't changed. He's still not relying on his own strength. He's trusting the Lord to work through him. And so these are words of faith, and they're words full of possibility and hope for all of us. Give me this mountain. I'm going to do the very best I can with the strength that I have. But I'm not going to trust my own strength, and I'm not going to trust my own ability. I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to trust the Lord. If I trusted my own ability, well, then I might as well do crossword puzzles for the rest of my life. But if God is going to work through me, well, then there's a world of things that I might be able to do. Psalm 92, verse 14, so it talks about bearing fruit in old age. You see a fruit tree, it's God who has produced the fruit on the fruit tree. And if God makes you a senior saint, He is also able to make you produce fruit in your life. Your job is to simply follow the Lord, use the strength that you have, and trust Him to do His work through you. Now, are there going to be younger people that have more energy than you? You betcha. Of course there will be. But it's not about your age. And it's not about how much energy you've got. It's about doing what you can and trusting the Lord Himself to work through you. You think about the role older people can have in the lives of their children and their nephews and their nieces and their grandchildren, their grandnephews and their grandnieces, and the role that older people can play in the Church of Christ. Don't be an older person that spends all their life complaining about how bad the world is and talking about their aches and pains. Don't be that person. Use what strength you have to encourage and teach and model and mentor and guide the younger generation. And by all means, be a fun grandparent, if God gives you that ability, or be the fun older person at church, and you can hand out candies when the parents aren't looking. Or if you're like my grandmother, you can hand out stale colored marshmallows when the parents aren't looking. And you can play games, you can give hot hugs, and you can go for walks, and you can do fun things. But please, older people, be the older person, the grandparent, who passes on the knowledge of God to the younger generation, who teaches kids the good news of Jesus Christ, not just how to be a good person, but the good news of Jesus Christ, who prays for children and prays with children and passes on wisdom how to live a life pleasing to the Lord our God. And think about that. You who are older here today, think about it, how the Lord might still use you in the autumn of your life, in the winter of your life, to bless others, that the Lord might use you still in your life for the salvation of a younger generation. That you might have people who will meet you in heaven and will say, you, when you were older, you were faithful and you took your mountain and you told me the good news of Jesus Christ and I believe the Lord used you. Be that kind of person. Pray the words of Psalm 71. Even when I am old and gray, Lord, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation and your mighty acts to those to come. Instead of saying, I'm over the hill, say, give me my mountain. Perhaps the Lord has giants for you to conquer in your senior years. Perhaps the Lord has miracles to work through you in your older years. Trust God to work through you. We could end here. We could end here and you could go and apply what you've learned. And I pray that you do. Go take your mountain, use the strength that the Lord has given you, and trust the Lord to work through you. Looking to Caleb as an example, I hope you do that. It is the Lord's word which comes to you today. It's so important that we don't only see Caleb, but that in all of this we see Christ. It's so important that you leave here not just thinking of Caleb, but thinking of Christ. Christ Jesus, who like Caleb was from the tribe of Judah. Jesus, who like Caleb did not succumb to the temptations of the desert. Jesus, who used his strength not to take some hill country like Caleb, but who took the hill of Calvary as the Christ. Jesus, who took the mountain and placed his cross on its summit like a flag of victory. Jesus, the Ancient of Days, who has refused to retire. Jesus, who chose crucifixion over shell collection. Jesus, who chose Golgotha over Gulf. Jesus, who did not slay the giants of Anak, but who slayed the giants of sin, and who slayed the giants of suffering, and the giants of death and demons, and Jesus, who trusted that the Lord his Father would work miracles of salvation through him. So by all means, my brothers and sisters, go from here thinking about following the example of Caleb, but I exhort you to put your trust in Jesus Christ and ultimately follow him in every way. Jesus Christ, who bore the sins of your youth, and who bore the sins of your middle age, and who continues to bear the sins of your elderly years, your senior years. Jesus, who has taken your mistakes, who has taken all my mistakes, and Jesus, who has taken your weaknesses and your errors, and climbed Golgotha and nailed them to the cross. Jesus, who trusted God his Father to work through him, and who used the strength that he had and took his mountain. Why? Why? That you might have life today as young people and as middle-aged people and as senior saints, so that you can cry out today by God's grace, that you can cry out and say, Lord Jesus, I trust that you will work through me. And so I will use the strength that you have given me. Lord Jesus Christ, help me, for I want to take my mountain. And all God's people said, Amen.